When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The night in the countryside had always seemed quiet to me. I'm a city person. I like the noise, the cars passing by and the lights. But you know, once in a while, silence doesn't hurt. My country house is a modest but comfortable construction. In the beginning, I was a little scared. I mean, my house was quite illuminated, but beyond that, there was pure darkness. I only had Rusty, a small dog I adopted when he was a puppy. That night, the sky was covered with clouds. Not a single star was visible. We were quite hot. Even though it was night, there was no air. It was a typical heavy summer night with a lot of humidity. Rusty was restless. He paced back and forth, whining softly, something completely out of character for him. He had always been a quiet dog. I settled on the couch with an old book, but my attention wasn't on the pages. Every now and then, I glanced at Rusty, who was now standing in front of the door, growling low. I went to him, petting his head, but he wouldn't calm down. Just then, he started barking with an intensity that got on my nerves. I approached the porch, trying to see what had so upset him, but the woods were dark. It was impossible to make out anything. Rusty, without hesitation, bolted outside. I called to him, but he didn't hear me. He just barked, his body rigid and looking up into the trees. From the porch, I watched Rusty. He was beside me, barking without moving. He seemed to be fixed on something I couldn't see. I strained to look in the same direction, and then I saw it. A black figure walking across the grass, heading for the trees. It had no clear shape, but it was moving. Something about its gait made me uncomfortable, as if it wasn't quite human. I swallowed saliva and took a step back, instinctively seeking to re-enter the house. I distracted myself for a moment to film what I was seeing. Whether it was an invader or something else, I had to catch it on camera. But before I could react, Rusty took off, running toward that silhouette, losing himself in the trees. Rusty! I grabbed a flashlight I had by the door and climbed down from the porch. Rusty's barking sounded farther and farther away. I couldn't leave him alone. Despite the fear I was beginning to feel, I followed the sound of his voice and went deeper into the woods. The forest was very large. When I was walking in the daytime, I used to recognize the beginning of the forest. I could barely see the branches in front of me. Rusty's barking could be heard intermittently, sometimes close, sometimes far away. I walked fast, dodging branches that seemed to appear out of nowhere. Everything was too still, as if all other sounds had disappeared. Suddenly, something rustled to my right. I stopped, turning the flashlight toward the noise. Nothing. I continued to move forward, but then the rustling repeated itself. Closer now. I looked around, feeling my breathing quicken. The noises multiplied as if someone or something was surrounding me. I kept walking, forcing myself to remain calm. Rusty's barking was my only guide. But something didn't fit. Every time I thought it was getting closer, they sounded farther away. The feeling of being followed was becoming more and more evident. I stopped my steps and slowly turned on my axis. It was then that I saw them. Gray figures moving through the trees, fast, like living shadows. The pain came without warning. A terrible pain in my head made me drop the cell phone flashlight and fall to my knees. My vision began to fade, first blurry and then almost non-existent. I struggled to stay conscious, but the pain was unbearable. I felt something squeezing my skull from the inside. Rusty! I tried to scream, but my voice came out weak, almost a whisper. In the distance, his barking continued, now much closer. I tried to get up, staggering, but my body wasn't responding as it should. The noises around me became clear. Footsteps, rustling, heavy breathing. The beings were getting closer and closer, and although I couldn't see them well, I knew they were watching me. Rusty's bark snapped me out of my trance. He sounded desperate, and he was so close I could almost feel it. I pushed forward, staggering through the trees. But something inside me screamed that I shouldn't go on. There was an instinct, a primal alarm telling me to turn and run. I began to cry at the thought of leaving my dog alone. I knew I didn't have to go. Every step I took toward Rusty seemed like a condemnation. But leaving my dog was an unbearable thought. The barking continued, but now it had a strange echo, as if it were many voices on top of each other. Then it happened. I felt something brush against my arm. A quick, icy movement. The sounds became more intense and I panicked. Fear overcame me and I abandoned my dog. I ran. My feet stumbled over roots and rocks, but I didn't stop. Every time I looked back, the figure seemed closer, moving unnaturally. Something hit my back, not hard, but enough for me to feel the impact. I fell to the ground, scraping my hands and knees. I didn't want to look at what it was. I got up as best as I could and kept running, with the noises almost glued to my ears. Finally, I saw a flash of light through the trees. My house. It was close, but so were the figures. I could feel it. When I reached the edge of the forest, I felt something stop. The figures were no longer moving forward, but I could feel their gazes on me. I ran to the door and slammed it shut, securing each lock as my body trembled with exhaustion and fear. I dropped to the floor, staring at the door as if expecting something to come through it. Then, I felt something behind me. I turned sharply, unprepared for what I was about to encounter. It was Rusty. He jumped toward me, wagging his tail as if nothing had happened. He was dirty, full of dirt from the forest. I hugged him, crying with relief. But something was still wrong. Outside, the barking continued. They sounded the same, but now, calmer. I knew they were not. The barking was always the same pitch, the same power, the same time. Besides, Rusty couldn't be barking if he was with me. I approached the window, carefully, and looked out into the woods. The figures were still there. Moving through the trees. The barking was still going on, only now I knew it wasn't coming from my dog. It was a trap to get me deeper and deeper into the forest, so much so that I couldn't get out, as long as those alien-like beings could reach me. I closed the curtains and locked myself in a room with Rusty. That night I didn't sleep. When the sun came up, everything was silent. No barking. No movement, just the sound of birds returning. I gathered what little I had and left the house with Rusty. I never looked back. I never wanted to know what was in those woods. Rusty was quiet, as if nothing had happened. Of course he was. He just chased a being into the woods and back. I had no idea what terrors that forest hid, or how we were both so incredibly lucky to get out alive.
My name is Akash. At the time, I was 14 years old and living in a quiet neighborhood in Nagpur, India. My family was not particularly interesting. My mother, Kavita, worked as a nurse, and my father, Rajesh, ran a small appliance repair shop. Our life was pretty normal, and until that night, I never experienced anything that made me question what was real. It was late on a Saturday night, and I was on the roof of our house trying to capture some stars with my phone. I always loved watching the sky, especially after a rain, when the light seemed less intense and the stars shone brighter. But that night it wasn't the stars I captured. Lights began to appear in the sky, first one, then another, until I counted five. It was not normal. These didn't move like airplanes or drones. They changed direction erratically and seemed too bright. I started recording as the lights organized themselves into patterns that seemed deliberate, as if they were forming geometric shapes. The lights were going fast. It was impossible to explain. I had no doubt whatsoever that what I had captured were UFOs. When I called my parents, they came up to the roof in a hurry. They didn't say anything for a while. They just watched, like me. Finally, my mother whispered, "What are those things?" My father shook his head as if he wanted to reject any ideas that crossed his mind, but it was impossible not to think of UFOs. After a while, the lights disappeared, as if they had never been there. We went down inside the house in silence. My mother tried to call my uncle to tell him what we had seen, but his phone had no signal. My father tried his and had the same problem. "Huh, must be the tower." I tried checking the networks on my own phone, but nothing was working. All that was left was to accept that the best thing to do was to sleep. That night, I had trouble closing my eyes. I kept thinking about those lights and how they had moved. It was then that I heard something, like footsteps. At first, I thought that the lack of light and the lights that I had seen outside had made me feel sleepy, but when the noises became more constant, I was sure that they were footsteps. Had someone taken advantage of the power outage to try to rob us? Maybe if I saw them through the window, they would know I was awake and leave. I got up carefully and looked out the window. At first, I saw nothing, but then I noticed something in the darkness. Tall, thin figures moving around outside my house. I swallowed hard and moved away from the window. I ran to my parents' room and woke them up. I told them what I saw, but my father only sighed and spoke to me. "It's your imagination, Akash. You're nervous because of what we saw earlier. Go to sleep." I tried to convince them, but they didn't believe me. I stayed in the room scared, sitting at the foot of the bed. A few minutes passed in silence until we heard a loud bang on the window. My mother jumped up and my father jumped up. They both approached carefully and looked out. I stood behind them trying to see what had caused the noise. Then we saw them. Those figures, the same ones I had seen before. They moved slowly as if they were examining the house, seeing where to enter or planning something. My parents didn't say a word. They just stood with me, watching for anything that might happen. My father moved to the front door to make sure it was locked, but then we heard something that chilled my blood. The sound of the lock turning. That door was locked. Before either of us could react, the door burst open. Something was coming in. My father tried to close the door with all his might, but he couldn't. Something was pushing from the other side. My mother ran into another room to find something to block the entrances. I froze for a few seconds until my father shouted, "Help me!" I ran to him, and together we pushed the door, but it was no use. The sound of footsteps surrounded us, and then something hit the windows. My mother ran back with chairs to cover the door, but it was no use. They were trying to get in from all sides. "Go upstairs and hide, now!" I didn't want to leave them, but his tone was so firm that I had no choice. I ran up the stairs and into the nearest room. Inside it was all dark, but as I closed the door, I heard something I wasn't expecting. A noise as if someone else was in there with me. I walked carefully. I was scared to death, and I couldn't afford to believe that this noise had been a coincidence. But how could someone have gotten in here? At that moment, I realized something. It was cold. I looked up, and the attic door was open. Someone could have gotten in from there. I looked toward the darkest corner of the room, and there he was. He was kind of tall, thin, and with longer than normal limbs. It was not human. It seemed to be moving slowly towards me. It was an alien, exactly like in all the science fiction movies. And now, it was in front of me. I wanted to scream, but I bit my lip to avoid it. I stepped back, looking for something I could use as a weapon, and my hand collided with the chair. I picked it up and threw it at the creature. The impact wasn't enough to stop it, but it gave me time to open the door and run away. Before I got down the stairs, I noticed something. Green light flashing from downstairs. Three quick flashes. Then I heard footsteps coming up. I stopped, and there they were. Two more figures coming up toward me. They weren't my parents. They were the aliens we had seen outside. I didn't think about it. I ran to a window and threw it open. I threw myself out, falling to the ground with a stabbing pain in my arm. I got up as best I could and ran toward the neighbor's house. When I knocked on the neighbor's door, he came out with a flashlight and followed me to my house. I explained what I had seen, and although he seemed skeptical, he agreed to come with me. When we arrived, we found my parents sitting on the couch as if nothing had happened. My mother looked at me with an expression I didn't quite recognize. "Son, are you all right?" Something was wrong. Her voice was too calm. "Thank you for taking care of our son. Some burglars tried to break into the house, but they were gone. We managed to scare them off before the situation got ugly." Something wasn't right. Their gestures, their words, it wasn't them. Also, thieves? We all saw the aliens. Why would they be lying? I was very doubtful, but the neighbor was not. He left me with them without wondering why they hadn't called the police. My parents, or whoever those people were, smiled. When I was left alone with them, they sent me to bed. I tried to ask them why they lied to me, but they actually told me that they were just thieves and that I was probably scared and talking gibberish. I gave up and went to sleep. From that night on, nothing was the same. My parents acted as usual, but there was something about them that I couldn't ignore. The way they looked at me, the way they talked to me, seemed rehearsed. I tried to talk to the neighbor again, but he too started avoiding me or telling my parents what I was saying to him. Now when I'm alone, I think about those figures and what happened that night. What scares me most is not what I saw, but what was left in my house. As soon as I get a job, I will leave. I'm not sure these are not my parents. I don't know what really happened to them. But I know, I'm sure these are not my parents. I don't know what really happened to them. But I know I may never see them again.
My family and I used to love going on vacation, and that summer was no exception. We arrived on the island with an excitement we hadn't felt in a long time. It was a small place off the coast of Spain. A nameless island that didn't appear on the main maps, but which my mother found on a list of hidden gems. The hotel was simple, surrounded by greenery, and just a few steps from a beach that looked like something out of a dream. There were four of us, my parents, my younger sister, and me. They were desperate to relax after months of exhausting work. I just wanted to disconnect from everything. But Mia, my 10-year-old sister, was a whirlwind of energy. She was running around, excited about every little detail, the palm trees, the pool, and even the shell she found in the sand. The first day was perfect. We played on the beach, ate fresh seafood, and soaked up the tranquility. However, there was something about the hotel employees that caught my attention. They weren't rude, far from it. In fact, they seemed overly friendly, almost mechanical. They always had the same fixed smile and the same smooth, calculated movements. My parents had warned me that the culture in other countries could be different and that I had to get used to it, so I assumed that nothing unusual was going on. In the evening, as we settled into the room, Mia came up to me and said something that left me thinking.
"People in Spain don't blink."
I laughed and told her that everyone blinked. I'm sure she hadn't seen them, but she didn't seem too happy with my answer. And to be honest, Neither did I. Didn't those people blink? The second day was when things started to get weird. During breakfast, Mia discreetly pointed out an older man sitting at a table across from us.
He's looking at us.
At first, I thought Mia was being paranoid again, but you know, she was right. The man wouldn't take his eyes off our family. He was like frozen. He kept staring at us, even when we looked back at him. But he wasn't making any gestures. He just stared. My mother ignored him, trying to convince us that he was normal. Throughout the rest of the day, we noticed that we weren't the only ones getting those looks. Other guests also seemed uncomfortable, although no one said anything out loud. In the afternoon, Mia and I were on the beach when she called out to me, pointing to the sky.
What's that?
At first, I didn't see it, but then I noticed a metallic flash moving fast through the clouds. It looked like an airplane, but its shape was different, more rounded and with pulsing lights. I took out my phone and recorded it, although I wasn't sure what it was. It looked like a flying saucer. But what happened next terrified me. As if it was nothing, it just accelerated and disappeared from our sight. My mother, upon seeing the video, laughed and said it was probably a drone or something similar. But Mia wasn't so convinced.
It wasn't a drone, Mom. Why are you lying, Mom?
She just ignored us and sent us to sleep. It was already quite late. That night, when we went to bed, the atmosphere felt heavy. There was a strange silence as if the whole island had stopped. I was suddenly awakened by a noise in the room. At first, I thought it was Mia, but when I opened my eyes, I saw her sitting on her bed, staring at the door.
They're here.
I sat up trying to understand what she was saying when I heard the creak of the wood. Someone was in our room. My father also woke up and turned on the light, but the bulb flickered and died. In the gloom, I made out several figures. They were the hotel employees. All of them. They stood there, motionless, their faces expressionless, staring at us as if we were a science project or something. During those seconds, none of them reacted. They were just standing still, looking at us. Or so I thought. After watching them closely, I realized something terrifying. They were not still. They were moving, just very slowly. At that precise moment, the light woke my mother up, and when she saw all those people in the room, she screamed, and that's when they jumped on us. Two of them grabbed my father, while others grabbed my mother and Mia. I tried to free myself, but one of them pinned me to the bed. I screamed, but they didn't respond. Their movements were precise, almost like machines. One of them tried to suffocate my father with a pillow. It was then that in a desperate act, I bit the arm of the one holding me. The flesh sank beneath my teeth, but it didn't react. He didn't even blink. That's when I realized that my sister was right. None of them blinked. They dragged us out of the room and through the hotel. There was no screaming, no words. Just the sound of our footsteps and the gasps of my mother and Mia. Outside, the night was dark, and we were led into the woods surrounding the hotel. As we walked deeper, I noticed something on the horizon. They were lights, small but intense, that seemed to be coming from a deep part of the forest. It wasn't fire or flashlights. They were something else, something I'd never seen before. Suddenly, my father, who until that moment had been almost unconscious, attacked one of the employees from behind. He knocked him to the ground and started beating him furiously. My father told us to run, and we didn't hesitate for a second. We seized the moment to escape. My mother took Mia by the hand, and I ran after them. My father stayed behind, facing the employees who were trying to stop us. The forest was a maze. We didn't know where we were going, but we kept running until the lights were behind us. Finally, we found a clearing and stopped to catch our breath.
Where's Daddy?
Before I could answer, my father appeared, covered in wounds, but alive. We all ran through the forest, trying not to get lost, but staying as far away as we could from anyone trying to follow us. When dawn broke, we found our way back to the hotel. The first thing we did was call the local police. When they arrived, we took them to the scene, but something was wrong. The hotel was completely empty. The cops were shocked. Until a few days ago, they had been to the hotel. They knew all the employees, and they had never behaved so strangely, let alone disappeared like that. There were no employees and no other guests. The rooms were empty as if no one had been there in weeks. My parents retrieved our things, and before we left, I checked my phone. The video of the sky was still there, as proof that something very strange had happened. We left the island on the first available ferry. During the ride, my sister was completely silent, which worried us. She was really in shock. The video, on the other hand, I uploaded it to YouTube, but very few people saw it. At the end of the day, what's another video of lights in the sky on a place like YouTube? Mia is convinced that we made contact with aliens that day and that people hypnotized by them. I just laugh.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
But I don't deny it. I honestly believe the same as her.